I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of ABG, Asian Boss Girl. We are a podcast for the modern-day Asian American woman. I'm Janet.
I'm Helen.
And I'm Mel.
And today we wanted to dive into a little bit about what is it that makes being a 20-something girl different from a 30-something woman.
Wait, you guys. I got it.
I'm not a girl. Not
right? Cool. Point taken. Also, copyright issues, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry, Brittany. So we thought a natural place to start might be in careers. How is your career and work different in your 20s versus your 30s? Like, Helen, what was your experience like getting your first job?
Yeah, no, I think post-college, so I'm 29 now, still 20s. Sure. But if I were to partition it between different segments of my life, I would say between 21 and, I guess, 25, like the work period.
Yeah.
That was like a point when you're trying to prove yourself a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And work itself is very exciting. You're at a job, no more tests, more having like a very, I guess it's still a set schedule, but making money and actually starting your career is very exciting.
Yeah.
So for me, I started in one of the big four companies, very corporate job, a lot of corporate parties.
Yeah.
Exciting, but I worked my butt off.
Was it really competitive?
It didn't feel that competitive, but it was a lot of stress that I just put on myself, I guess.
You wanted to achieve and you wanted to prove yourself. And
Yeah. I would call it the prove it period for sure.
I definitely relate to that. I started my career, my first job right out of college, also at a big four. To Helen's point, like, I mean, you work really hard, but then there are like, they do all these like happy hours and parties. Mm-hmm. So you're in this lifestyle where it's like work super hard, play super hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned pretty quickly that it was like not the place for me.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, and I got like, I was really like depressed, and like, I tried to push through, because I think as your first job, like you don't, at that time, it was like, you don't want to leave a job before 1 or 2 years. Like, it looks bad on your resume, mm-hmm. right? So I kind of held on to it, and I also...
How long did you hold on to it for?
2.5 years. But it was, like, a
That's
long enough
good.
Period
That's
where...
That's pretty good nowadays.
No, a lot seriously. Of my friends and family were like, dude, you... Or my family was much more like, this is, like, what you work for. You should continue doing that.
Yeah.
And some of my friends were like, dude, you're so unhappy. Like, you need to do something else. But I didn't know other options, And it was very much, like, kind of... I guess maybe I wasn't... I was just kind of like operating through like college, achieve the thing that you should do and then get the job you should get. I wasn't super thoughtful or like passionate about this, which is really different than Mel, right? Like, tell us about your experience.
Yeah. Before I do, I had a question for you guys. Like, you guys said like, oh, this is like my prove it period for like, work and career. Would you say like the main source of happiness at that time was financial? Because at a big four, I'm assuming you guys make a,
I think the thing is that for me at that time, my family, my friends, I had a steady boyfriend at that point. And so everything was like good, right?
Okay.
And so it was work that was it was exciting. That was the exciting part of my life.
Because everything else is like, oh, I have this like figured out. It's stable. Yeah. So this is a thing that I need to focus on.
Exactly. Yeah.
But Janet, you didn't. Well, did you feel like, yeah, you know, because you got over it really fast. Was it because, okay, I'm making good money, but I'm not really happy anymore?
I actually wasn't making, I mean, I was making better than average money, I think, for starting out, like, out of college. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like I was getting paid bank, right?
Yeah.
I think for a good part of my 20s, I was looking for, like, validation. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't something I realized, but I was just so super ambitious and, like, chasing something. And I it mattered a lot to me, like, the name of the company, that it was respectable, that it was, like, a technical job. And I think that's also, you know, growing up like Chinese American, like my dad's an engineer, I was always like, math was always valued over, you know, like arts or like even literature and stuff like that. So my 20s were a period of like mass confrontation with that type of thinking and realizing that that didn't match what I personally valued. But for you, Melody, like, so you...
I didn't do that.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Well, okay, so I went to, like, I think I went to a good UCSD. It's a good school.
Yeah.
Tritons.
Oh, yeah, you guys are Merman.
Sorry. Okay, me and Janet are from UCSD. Helen, BU.
BC.
BC. Oh, sorry.
Oh, BC. That's a bad
difference.
Mistake.
No, but, like, for me, I kind of thought I would just get a job right away after college because, like, you know, like, in high school and college, I felt like I had everything figured out. I was like, you know what? I have good grades. I'm in extracurricular activities.
Super involved.
Yeah, I was involved in everything. And so after college, I was like, I'm going to get a job easily. And my mom made it seem like it was just a breeze. And I was like, yep, okay, totally.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what happened was that during my internship in college, like, I fell in love with it so much. I wanted to extend it.
What was your internship?
It was at the film festival in San Diego, which is the Asian American Film Festival. Loved it. I wanted to extend it. My mom was like, you're not getting paid, but okay, I guess. But after this, you have to move back home. And I was like, okay, fine. I moved back home and I was unemployed for a few months. And I was like, oh my God, everyone else is getting a job around me. I'm not making any money. This is so embarrassing. And then my favorite YouTube production company released an internship. And I was like, oh, I really need to do this. My mom's like, you already interned like 6 months past graduation. You need to find a real job now.
Right.
Like, you got to do it. I had this moment when I was like, you know what? I really want to do this internship because I realized through like my film festival internship, like I love media and like storytelling. So I told myself, okay, I'll apply to this internship. If I get it, I will take it. But if I don't, it's meant for me that like I just have to like find a full-time job. Like that's my path. I eventually got the internship, which like has totally led me to like this different world of like following your passion, your dreams, like that is a reality you could take.
So it was exactly what you expected and what you wanted out of it.
Yes and no, because I feel like I expected to make income, which I didn't, to be honest.
Like, so you had to sacrifice like something.
When I say income, I thought I'd be making compared to my peers. Like I worked in finance and tech right away, and here I am pursuing entertainment.
Okay, but, so you were very like kind of like faith driven or like whatever is going to happen is meant to be. And I feel like I've adopted that type of mentality now, but like earlier in my 20s, I was so, it was just like blunt force. Like, I need this, and these are the, you know, like metrics that I need to hit. And I was like, I need to, there's no like, it was meant to be. It's like, I either get it and it's great or I don't and it sucks.
I wonder too, because like, I feel like everyone's being told like, oh, I'm a millennial, like you can do better or like you need to pursue your dreams. Like, we're taught that's the millennial mindset. Yeah, and I feel like, I'm totally that mindset.
Yeah.
And I'm that example.
And I wonder if there's like a difference between, I mean, Mel's not too much younger than Janet and myself.
Please, but I'm much younger than you guys.
Come on. But I do think that there's been a mentality like shift amongst people who are coming in from college now, where they expect sort of their environment in work to be a lot more techie. They want like, you know, the beanbags, the free food, the free booze and all of that.
Exactly.
And people are looking for that. And in a company that like where I'm at, I see people are like, oh, I'm not getting this. Why am I working so hard?
Right.
So there's almost like a feeling of people feel entitled nowadays.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And I think also, I mean, I haven't looked this up, but in terms of like turnover, I think the turnover from undergrads coming into college is a lot faster. Maybe like 2 to 3 years compared to like 5 or so years, 5 plus years.
Like at a company?
Yeah.
There's been so many articles written about how our generation or the millennial generation is like so idealistic and looking for all the perfect things.
Yeah.
And for me, I spent, so after my period at that company, I was in San Francisco. That was like the, you know, epitome of the spot where a lot of this thinking was growing. Yeah. And I realized after moving out of San Francisco that it wasn't so much being brainwashed, but there was this pressure of everyone wanting to like do good and like change the world and do all this stuff. So you were looking for your job and your profession to provide you everything about your identity. And to Helen's point, like when your job is so much your focus, I really like, it's not that I neglected my friends and family, but like I definitely didn't visit home very much. I didn't call home very much. It was like my parents reaching out.
Yeah.
With my friends, like I wasn't conscientious or thoughtful about my relationships. I was just responsive. If someone asked me to hang out, sure, I would do that. If there were parties, sure, I would go. And it was all just like logistics. It wasn't like, do I want to spend time with you? Or the people that I liked, would I make time to spend time with you? And I think as I'm getting older, that's definitely something that I focus on more. How do you see your relationship with your friends and your family having, or do you think it's changed kind of over time?
I think, well, I'm still in my mid-20s, so I feel like I'm entering the phase where, entering the mindset now that I'm like, you know what, like I do have friends that I love, but I'm willing to pick and choose the time I spent with them versus before, like Jen, like you, I'm like, oh yeah, like I don't want to miss out on anything, or what if something happens that I don't know. Total exactly. But now I'm like at the point where like I kind of don't care anymore, and I rather spend time with myself versus some group. I'm like, I'm not like feeling it this week. Not saying I don't love you, but I want me time.
Right. Yeah. I think when you're younger coming out of college, and I think for me especially, like moving to a new city was a lot of, I want to hang out with like as many people as I can, and then you spread yourself too thin and you realize you're not developing the relationships that you really should be.
Well, let's talk about that, Helen. That's like a huge thing. Helen moved across the country from Boston to Los Angeles.
I did.
Yeah. Like what was like what prompted that?
It kind of just happened naturally.
Yeah.
Where I think after 3 years at the company, everything just sort of felt like fine. Right. It's like the big F. Boyfriend was good, family's good, but everything was very complacent, and I just needed a change. So
you needed more challenge or something stimulating.
Yeah.
You get a motorcycle, like, you know, like a lot of older
I guess dudes. I could have gotten a motorcycle. And the funny thing is that now that I've moved here, I appreciate Boston and everyone in Boston
a lot more
than I used to.
Are you more close with your like family now that you're in LA? Because you call them constantly, right?
Mm-hmm. A lot closer to my family. And friends, just appreciating like the stability that's there. The fact that it's always been there, and now that it's still there, every time I go back, I'm like, guys, let's hang out. And they're like, you're too excited to hang out with us right now.
I have a lot of respect for that, because I did a couple of moves in my 20s, and I went from California to New York, and I always tell people that I tried to live in New York. I didn't successfully do it because I was there for like 8 months, and then I was like, this is not for me. I'm coming home. Mm-hmm.
Wait, would you say that that was your quarter life crisis when you moved to New York?
It was definitely part of it, yeah. And I think kind of like contrasting to Mel, you know, coming out of college and really like pursuing your passions, I started out in like a safer job. And then when I realized like how miserable I was like, okay, I'm really going to like, I became much more idealistic and was seeking like the perfect profession or career that would allow me to like help people and like be creative. And I was looking for all these things, and it was way too idealistic.
So what did you do in New York then? So you left your cushy big four job.
Yeah. So I did a couple of different things. Because I was in San Francisco, I first started out doing like social enterprise work, which I learned pretty quickly. I can't make a living to be able to live in San Francisco doing that. And then I switched. I was like, advertising. That's something that's creative. And I wanted to like, the plan was to move to New York and work in advertising. But I learned throughout that process that like both advertising and New York City are really, really tough industries and places to live. And I think I tried to change too many things at once. So if I had gone there maybe earlier in my 20s, and if I had like a job going there or like friends living there, I think it would have been different. But
You had a job in advertising for 8 months in New York.
I did not. I went there with two suitcases, booked an Airbnb for 2 weeks, and I had I didn't have a job, and I knew like a couple people, but there was definitely that pressure of like, okay, you probably have like 2 months, and if you don't get a job in 2 months, it's probably not the thing. And I kind of messed it up where initially when I went out there, I had more or less a job offer, but for me it was like, oh, this is it's like the first one, no, I should, like, everyone says New York is like massive opportunities, I should go there and interview multiple times. And then it ended up not working out.
So for the next 6 months, you were just chilling.
Yeah, and you know, New York is a really hard place to be in if you don't have a job, because that's all people do.
Gosh. Yeah, for sure.
And then it's like you don't. There's no reprieve in your apartment. I lived in it was
a closet.
It was a closet with like two other people.
Oh my gosh!
And my roommate was like French and like super anal, and so I was just like, I'm just gonna stay in my bedroom. So it just when I didn't have a job, I was like sitting in my room. Or trying to go out and like take meetings,
okay,
and do all that, but yeah,
so that was your I'm gonna go and pursue my passion.
Yeah,
type
even though
adventure
even
endeavor.
Though I knew in my gut, like I was like, oh, I don't think this is it. And that was a really pivotal point for me, because I think we're taught, like, we're raised to believe that you should push through and that you should like get the job, survive in the city. And I, all the people that I met there that came from like LA were like, oh, everyone hates it here for the first year and then you love it. I learned that New York is just not the place for me. And I came back to Los Angeles and...
You're home.
Yeah. And I'm actually really like, this is probably the first time that I found a place where I know I'm going to be here long, long term. Yeah. I have no plans to leave. Yeah. So
that's crazy for me to think about. Cause like right now in my mid twenties, I like, you know, living in LA, it's starting to hit me that like, oh my gosh, like this is a place I'm going to probably settle down with and get married. Yeah. And just figure out where in LA do I want to settle down.
Yeah.
Cause like, you know, I'm still like 25. No, I'm 26. Sorry.
Late 20s. Welcome.
But do you guys ever think about that? Like living in LA, it's like, this is where I'm going to start a family. Yeah. Yeah. Married.
Totally.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing for me too. When I moved here, I think I knew that Boston probably wouldn't be the place that I would settle down in. But now that I've moved here a couple of years in, I do feel like this is probably like I have that secured and knowing that I want to stay here. Right.
Yeah.
And then you can just focus on other things in life in terms of like friendships, family, like just dive a little bit deeper into those areas of your life once that part of you is settled. Yeah.
All right, so I have a question for you guys. Obviously being my mid-20s, I'm still in the point of my life where I want to find my passion, but also find a work that relates to it. Like, was it different for you guys in your 20s versus your 30s?
I think for me, that's an interesting question because I think you started off with your passion first versus I was more... I think maybe to your point, Jana, earlier is the Chinese / Asian American in me based on upbringing from family. That's like find a secure job afterwards. Right. So I feel like I did that and it's gotten to a point where I'm very confident and comfortable in my job. But at the same time, now my mind's sort of going towards, OK, well, what's my passion? What do I actually like want to do in life? So it's very, I think, opposite of what you went through. And I don't know, Janet, if that's the same.
I'm kind of like, I guess, a blend because I started out in the super practical and then like totally went the opposite direction and was like pursuing my passions and like doing all these things where I was like not getting paid. And then I eventually evened out to return to a career, but became really focused in on what are the things that matter to me in my 30s. I realized like I identified what things I need my job to give me and then what things I could look elsewhere. And similar to Helen now, like since I've now stabilized my career and my job gives me those things that I value, which is like financial stability, you know, like good work-life balance, that I work with people that I respect. Now some of those passion things I'm looking to be like more creative or to like help people, I'm looking to explore how to do that in other avenues in my life.
Is there any advice you'd give someone like me who's about to enter this point of life someday?
Mel, the advice that I would give to someone in their 20s and in the middle of exploration is that you should explore. But I would preface it with, like, do it mindfully. Because I think you can see from someone like Helen's background, for the person working the corporate job, don't feel like because you're 6 or 7 years in that this is going to be the rest of your life. You have that's just the tip of the iceberg of your career. There's so much time that you have in the future to explore, to change up different industries, change up different functions. And I think if I could go back and advise myself, I wouldn't have jumped ship so early. I would have stayed at the corporate thing and maintained like what I need for my job, which is financial security and that kind of stuff, and then started out pursuing my passions more on the side maybe, or getting more clear about like doing the testing but still holding on to my ground of safety. I kind of just like leapt. I was like, no, I don't want this job and I'm going to dive in, and I kind of like, I feel like I kind of landed on my face a little bit. So I learned the hard way. So I would say, yeah, like explore. But as you're exploring, like, figure out like what are the lessons that you're taking away and know also like what your stability point is.
I think to Janet's point, it's exploring and also finding sort of understanding yourself and building that confidence within yourself. I think within the 20s, a lot of people are like, oh man, once I hit 30s, I have to have babies. I have to already thinking, tracking back. I already have to have been engaged by 26. I think for me now that later in my 20s, if I were to have, I guess, redone it again since post-college, I would probably use more of my time to really focus on developing these passion projects instead of using that time to say like, oh, I need to sleep or I need to just hang out with friends, but really trying to develop that so that that becomes a bigger part of your life in your mid / later 20s and becomes a bigger part of you, which I think, Mel, to what you've done is very enviable of that you were able to take that time after college to really pursue your passions. I think that's really cool.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, you know, I think it's It is very applaudable, Mel. I think in the context also when you said that your friends and your family maybe at times advised against it, or that it was very different. I'm sure it felt very alone. Mm-hmm. You listened to yourself, or you listened to your own voice strongly enough to push through that. And also, you're still so young. Like, who knows? Maybe in like 5 years, you will be in the super corporate environment. You'll be making bank, you know? Like, you have no idea what direction your career will take you.
And if you're scared now that, you know, you've done this, you're like still worried about financial stability and all that, I think it's great that you're starting with it and you know what you want.
Yeah.
You're sure of what you want. Versus Janet and I here.
Yeah, we relied on the default setting a little bit.
Regardless of what you decide to do after college, everyone's going to have a different path, whether it's a passion project, it's a secure job, corporate location, or whatever. It's everyone's journey is going to be different.
Yes.
And it's always right, whatever you end up doing.
I really appreciate you girls giving me acknowledgement for this, I guess, weird way of starting my 20s. Entering or my work life.
How you spent your early 20s.
Yeah, I think it's kind of unconventional. A lot of Asian American values.
Yeah.
But there's so many questions I would have for you guys in regards to my 20s. I didn't get to ask you guys, like, dating, relationships, families. But I guess that's something we'll probably have to dive into another episode, right?
We'll continue this topic of 20-something girls versus 30-something women.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we'll touch upon these different topics such as love, family, friends, sex.
Do you want to talk
about that? I mean, we could get into that if we wanted to. There's a difference.
We know you want to talk about sex, Mel.
What's sex? But don't forget, we're also on social media. So ladies, when you have that quick time in the toilet to check your face, please check us out. We are there.
Check your face.
Check your face. I check my face in the restroom.
Okay, you said on the toilet.
I mean, hey, you whip out the camera.
Just kidding. Multitask.
Thanks, ladies.
See you guys next time.
Bye. Bye.